And thanks for joining me this evening. This is Aaron Hay with you on Mizzou Music here on Classical 90.5 FM. The Mizzou International Composers Festival is coming up from July 23rd through the 28th here in Columbia, Missouri. We've got a lot of incredible composers and musicians in town during that time. And here at Mizzou Music, we'll be giving many of them a chance to tell us about themselves and their music and what we can look forward to hearing from them at the end of July. Joining me this evening is Viet Quang. Viet, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
So I grew up in Marietta, Georgia, and I then moved to Baltimore for college and then went to Princeton for grad school. Now I'm in Philadelphia.
Okay. Right on. And what are you doing in Philadelphia?
I'm currently enrolled in the Artist Diploma program at Curtis.
Cool. So how did you get into composition?
I guess it's a pretty long story. I played piano, or I started playing piano when I was really young, like 5 or 6 or something. But I always hated practicing the piano. So I don't think many 5-year-olds enjoy practicing the piano. But what I did enjoy was like making my own stuff up on the piano. And kind of improvising things in lieu of practicing. And so I was doing that for like a while. And then I think when I was about 10 or 11, I downloaded Finale Notepad for the first time. It was like the free music notation software at the time. And I started actually writing down what I was improvising on the piano. And I think those were kind of my first compositions. And what I also loved was... I really loved the Pachelbel Canon when I was like 10.
Okay.
And so what I would do is I would play the bass line, like that repetitive bass line that goes and goes and goes, and then I would improvise things on the right hand above it. And I think that's when I first started to learn how like chords worked and that sort of thing. But it was pretty much just like kind of did everything on my own until college.
Okay. And then just you found out that that was a program, that that was a thing you could do in college, and that was it. It was over, huh?
Yeah, well, when I was in high school, in middle school, I was in band and I played percussion. And I always, took performing pretty seriously as a percussionist and later on as a clarinetist. But when you're a percussionist, you stand in the back and count reps a lot of the time.
I was a percussionist myself.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so a lot of times in rehearsal, if I wasn't, goofing off, I would be watching, them rehearse, and I would hear get to kind of notice what instruments, what the different roles of the instruments were in the band, and I would go home and try to kind of write my own pieces in the style of those things we were playing in band class. And so I always did that throughout high school. And by the time I finished high school, I was deciding what to do with college, and I said, I really would love to be a composer. Like a professional composer. I didn't even really know what that meant, but I kind of dove right into it. And I think I found Peabody. I didn't know what Peabody was before I went to college. I think I found it because I was at this summer program in Georgia, and one of the teachers played this piece by Chris Theofanidis called Rainbow Body, really beautiful orchestra piece. And I was like, wow, I love this. And I found that he was teaching at Peabody at the time, so I kind of found it that way.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Really cool. So tell us a little bit about your work. Tell us about Sound and Smoke.
Sound and Smoke is a piece I wrote a while ago now, and it was kind of my first, one of my first pieces for wind ensemble. And I've always enjoyed writing for wind ensemble since I grew up playing in bands and everything. I would say, a piece like Sound and Smoke, even though I wrote it a while ago, I'm still very proud of it. I focus a lot on orchestration and color in my music, and it kind of started with that piece, I'd say. And one thing I did try in that piece for the first time was kind of imitating electronics with live instruments. So a lot of the textures in the first movement of that piece are inspired by delay, by very simple delay, like when you play something and it repeats it multiple times and kind of fades out. And that's something I am still doing to this day. And actually the piece I wrote for Mizzou is called Electric Aroma. And it's also kind of takes the idea of kind of replicating strange electronic sounds acoustically.
Nice. That sounds great. And that's the piece that you'll be premiering here on July 28th here with Alarm Will Sound, right?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. What else can you tell me about that piece?
Well, the piece, aside from like the kind of explorations and kind of interesting sounds, something I've been interested in my music the past couple of years is making pieces that aren't really necessarily jokes, but pieces that where the audience feels like they're kind of in on it, if that makes any sense,
uh-huh.
Right from the first hearing. So this piece is, I think it'll be fun for people to listen to because I set music in motion, and there's like maybe a couple minutes of music, and then there's a repeat of that music, but then it kind of sounds like a really messed up version of the first couple minutes.
Okay.
So if they have been listening and everything, and after the first couple minutes, there's like kind of a pause, and it sounds like a piece restarts, or like in a, you know, like Mozart or Beethoven where the exposition of a sonata repeats. It's kind of like that, but then it's like a messed up version of that. And I start introducing lots of different ways to develop the music. And one of them is these kind of raucous sounding oboe multiphonics, which always sound like guitar feedback. So it's like the music is like, it's like kind of a wink. And at the same time, it's like developing. And I think it'll be really fun.
Nice. Yeah, we look forward to hearing it. So speaking of like audience involvement and music in motion, tell me about Water, Wine, Brandy, and Brine.
Oh, yes. That's sort of, I think that's probably one of the best ideas I've had a little too early in my life for that. But
it's okay.
It's a piece I wrote for percussion quartet, So Percussion, and it's a piece for all crystal glasses. And since I grew up playing percussion, I always found that whenever I write for percussion, I get tired of kind of regular percussion instruments since I like grew up playing them, and it's almost like I'm bored of them or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Even though a lot of they're all great instruments, but I thought it'd be a fun challenge to write a percussion quartet and just use only like glassware. And it all kind of started as an idea in this class that So Percussion was teaching at Princeton at the time. It's like basically a seminar on how to write for percussion. And every week they would have like kind of a little assignment. You write 45 minutes of something, or not 45 minutes, 45 seconds each week. And each week there is like a little assignment. And one week it was like portable / toy percussion. And I remember like doing my dishes, and I like remember kind of hitting a glass with like a fork or something. And then when I tilted the glass, the pitch kind of bent and, I was like, oh, I could kind of maybe do a whole piece of these. And that week I brought in the 4 wine glasses and wrote some music with them, playing the glasses with chopsticks and whatnot. And so when it came time to write like a full piece, I went with that idea and I went to like thrift stores and bought like 30 wine glasses. And came up with a catalog them all, and then eventually ended up with the 15 that I used in the full piece. And he's all about using like different ways that you can make sounds with wine glasses. And so it starts with toasting the wine glasses, so they sound almost like handbells, and then transitioning to playing them with chopsticks. And then finally, I don't think it would be a piece for wine glasses if you didn't play the rim.
No, of course not.
So it ends with that. But I think the whole piece uses this kind of pitch bending idea as well. And even when they're toasting the glasses, when the water kind of jiggles in the glass, it sounds like automatic vibrato, and it doesn't always sound like perfect, which I really like about it.
Oh yeah, I think that's like that's a huge part of the beginning of that piece, is just the like the noise just kind of working with itself but against itself at the same time, just kind of bending around and being chaotic but still put together in a constructive way.
Yeah, and I think even sometimes when like the glass, like it kind of like does like a slam, like kind of like there's like a double hit and things like that. It's really, I think,
right.
It's kind of charming in that way.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece, and we look forward to hearing your piece with Alarm Will Sound, Electric Aroma. That's going to be on Saturday, July 28th here at the Mizzou International Composers Festival. Viet, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us, and we really look forward to having you in town.
Yeah, I can't wait.